As the song says, the Lord is here to break every chain. And as we were worshiping, the Lord reminded me about this woman in Luke, the wonderful story of the woman with the issue of blood. And the Bible tells us that this woman had suffered with a hemorrhage for 12 years and had spent all her money on physicians and could not be healed by anyone. She came behind him and she touched the fringe of his robe, or as it's known, as the hem of his garment. And immediately her blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" While they were all denying it, "Wasn't me, it wasn't me," Peter and all of those that looked around and said, "Master, the people are crowding you. They're all over you." But Jesus said, "But someone touched me." You could be a crowd here and not touch Jesus. Did you know that? We could all be here and still not touch him. And so as the prophetess has said, we need to press through. Press through. You see, saints, you might think, "Oh, it's because I've got this physical condition. It's what I need to be fixed." Jesus knows best. It might be more than just a physical thing that needs to happen in our lives. Amen. There could be so many things. We're complex individuals and there are so many things that are going on in our lives and in our hearts. But the one who knows everything knows what we need, our Lord. So he says, "Touch me today. Touch me. Touch me." Crowd out everything that's wearing you down right now and just reach out and touch me. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came up trembling and she fell down before him. And she declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Yes. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith." Yes. Daughter, your faith. Yes. Your personal trust and confidence, yes, in me has made you well. Go in peace, yes, untroubled, undisturbed, yes, well-being. Go in peace. The Lord wants you to go in peace from here today, saints. Okay, so some things might not happen the way you think they should happen, but let's just trust him. Let's just have confidence. Let us have confidence in our God. In a world that is seeking for your attention to be divided, let your God be your God. Let Jesus be who he really is. King of kings, Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Many questions in your mind, saith the Lord, this day about so many things. Lord, why didn't you heal this? Why hasn't this happened? But the Lord says, just try and reach through the crowd, the things that cloud your mind, the doubts, the fears, even the unbelief. Reach out and press in like the woman and touch me. Touch me. And you will be made whole. In Jesus' name.
God is touching your inner man. The things that no one else knows, that hurt and wound that you've carried, right now, the healer is bringing wholeness to your inner person. Just say yes to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're here right now. God's healing your heart. Your heart. Both your literal heart and figurative hearts. You've been crying a lot lately. Today, the Lord turns your mourning into dancing. He heard you. Thank you, Lord. Receive your new heart today. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it today, Lord. We receive it today. Someone else, I see you wrapped in belts, almost from head to foot. There have been belts that have tied up your life. You have felt so restricted and prevented. In Jesus' name today, they're all severed. You're free today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just as God is not willing that any should perish, it is not His will that anybody be sick or afflicted today. Put your hand on your body wherever it isn't 100% whole. Right now in this Holy Ghost moment, receive now in Jesus' name. In the powerful name of Jesus, receive healing. From head to foot, from foot to head, from back to front, from visible to invisible. In Jesus' name, healing flows onto your skin and into your organs, into your brain, into your lungs, into your bones, into your ligaments, into your teeth, into your mouth. In Jesus' name, God is healing people in this room right now. Don't take the exclusion clause. Receive it now today in Jesus' name. Receive your healing. Somebody in this room, there's been somebody chasing you. I see you're running. That person has a name that's chasing you. The name is called history. Your history has been chasing you. But today, you turn and you say, history, you're finished. I'm looking at my future, and it's bright and it's good in Jesus' name. It's bright and it's good in Jesus' name. Say it today. It's bright and good in Jesus' name. History is defeated. I'm no longer running from history. I'm running to brightness and goodness and blessing and hope and fulfillment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. History just fell over. I saw it. History just fell over. You need to walk back. Walk back a couple steps and put your foot on it and say, you're done. You're finished. You're done. You're finished. In the grace of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all things are new for me today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see an empty wallet. And I see tears coming down your face. I see a great weight upon your heart. And you keep offering your empty wallet to the Lord. And you said to Him, Lord, I can't take this financial pressure much longer. I see it now. From the throne of grace, I see the coins coming to fill your empty wallet. You couldn't figure out how God would bless you. You don't have to figure out how God can bless you. He's the blesser. He knows how to do it. Just say, yes, Lord, I receive today. I receive, Lord, today. My focus is not on the empty, but it's on the filling. Right now, in Jesus' name, I receive it. I receive it. Debt, you're canceled in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The great debt canceller is here in this room. If you need the debt canceller, you should be on your feet getting your debt canceled. If you need your debt canceled, get on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. The debt is canceled today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, miraculously, God cancels debts. He canceled the debt of your sin. He can cancel the debt of your finance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, receive it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're here in the meeting today. I see in front of you a locked door. You've been pushing on it. You've been crying out about it. At times you've wondered, would God even allow me through that door? I'd like to go there, but it seems blocked and locked. I see a heavenly hand with a key. A heavenly hand with a key right now. Turning the lock. Turning the lock. God opens the door for you today. Thank you, Jesus. You open doors that no man can open, and you shut doors no man can shut. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you today, Lord. This may sound a bit strange, but that's okay. Whatever comes from heaven should sound strange sometimes. You wanted a holiday. You wanted a holiday, and you said, Lord, I don't have the money for a holiday. If you'll devote your holiday to Jesus, he's telling me right now, he'll make that way for you. You receive out and reach out and receive your holiday today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said there was times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. You made us, Lord, so we would need those times of refreshing. Lord, sometimes a change of venue. Let a change of venue in your presence, praising you and thanking you. Oh, how refreshing that is. God has given you times of refreshing. You're in the meeting today, and you've just been weak. You've been weak so long in your body, it's affected your soul. You get out of bed in the morning, and you wonder if you're going to really make it through the day. I want you to touch your thigh right now. You see, the thigh in the Bible is the symbol of the strength of man. As you touch your thigh, the hand of God comes on your hand right now. The hand of God comes on your hand. To the faint, he increases strength, his word says. Right now, God is strengthening your body. Energy, divine energy is flowing into your frame right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And that energy flows not just to your body, but to your soul. You understand? I have the strength of God. I was commanded to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And His might comes into my physical body today. It comes into my soul today. I rejoice in the strength of God today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's no place like the presence of God. 17 years I had sciatica. And I stood in a moment just like this moment. Just like this moment. All my sciatica went away for good. The same one is here right now to remove your sciatica. Thank you, Jesus. Receive healing right now in Jesus' name, in your back, your hips, in Jesus' name. Inflammation. You go to the doctor and he says there's 7,000 kinds of inflammation. You have one of them, whatever it is. Let me tell you, Jesus is healing you of inflammation right now. The fire is going out in your body. Move around, check it out. Rheumatism's going. Arthritis is going. Bursitis is going. Hallelujah. Energy is coming. Ho, 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 ho. I had it, I don't have it now. I had it, but I don't have it now. I had it, but I don't have it now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. There are a lot of marker moments in life when you walk with Jesus. Mark this one today. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're seated, join those that are standing. Hug 5 people by the Holy Spirit when you come in. All right. Just a few notices to bring to your attention. That is it. Welcome her as she comes.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Rick. Well, it was. I was so excited to meet your pastor, Pastor Rick, a couple of weeks ago. It was absolutely lovely. And just to give you a bit of a background, we Fresh Horizons Church, we're meeting, oh gosh, this is how to squash it down. We actually launched in 1997 in Kensal Green, Northwest London. And then we moved out of Kensal Green after that venue became unavailable. And we were then thought, well, how can we be called Kensal Green when we're not in Kensal Green anymore? Anyway, we prayed about that for a while and listened to what God had for us to do. And we just felt the name Fresh Horizons, you know, came, and that was amazing. And we were then, our new venue was in Harlesden in London. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard of Harlesden in London. Yes. Well, yes, back in the day it had quite a reputation. And I thought, Harlesden, wow, you know. So we went there and we were right on the high street. We met in the Salvation Army upstairs. And during that time, we felt to take some time away and just meet with the Lord. We had about 10 days of prayer, fasting, and meeting together. And that would have been around 2012, 2013, something like that. And out of that time, the biggest thing that was impressed on our hearts was God gave us Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And the verses 6 to 8. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. And this is the scripture that came to us, and I thought, wow, goodness. And so we were right in the high street in Harlesden. There was a huge amount of need. A lot of people, it's a high drug area, a lot of need, a lot of, you know, people in poverty, really. And my vision at the time wasn't in that area. I just had this selfish vision of having a lovely church with lots of rich people, so I didn't have to do a lot. You know, that kind of thing. You know, you have your vision, and we'd been birthed out of a very big church, Katie, at the time, and I thought, oh, that's what we'll be. But then God laid this on my heart, and I thought, wow, this is something else. And I think I, for myself, we held on to that for quite a long time. It stayed in my heart. It never went away. And we found ourselves in this area of great need and a burden, a vision of our hearts that God had put in our hearts. And so we went through a time of processing. Well, I certainly did. Maybe the church did, but they didn't say a lot. But I did, and I thought, I have to lay down this selfish thought that I had. This is who we are. This is where we're going. And just accept and receive God's heart. So that's what I did. And I remember thinking, will I be overwhelmed? The needs are so great. They are so amazing. And to be honest, I can't go into the whole story now. I have to just squash it right down. It ended up that we partnered with the Salvation Army and launched a drop-in for the homeless. And that would meet in the Salvation Army on a Tuesday. And that was about 2013. And that's still going today. And one of the guys here loves cooking, you know, and he goes there and cooks every week, more or less, you know, for the homeless. And for, he loves it. It's his heart thing, you know. So we jointly launched this drop-in. And we had this dream, one way to fulfill what God was saying in Isaiah 58 would be to house the homeless. I don't know if anyone else has ever had that, but thought, you know, bring the homeless in. And you think, gosh, how are we going to do this? We hear testimonies of people bringing people into their home. And I thought, how brave and courageous, you know, because you just don't know where people are, what the challenges will be. But I'd sit there and hear these testimonies, think, absolutely amazing. And there was one of the ladies that did bring someone in, that the outreach would see people on the streets, and she brought him in, and he lived with her for a while, and then he went off the wagon again and went off drinking, and he left. And I thought, but God, there must be a more consistent way of doing this. And one way would be to get a house, begin to house the homeless, get a house, you know, at least start with one. I thought, how are we going to do this? We're just a small family church. I mean, property in London is astronomical. How are we going to do it? So for a few years, we continued to nurse in our hearts. It says Mary pondered these things in her heart. We prayed about that, and we never let it go. I certainly did not let it go. And it, as it turned out, we met with another charity called Green Pastures. Don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they exist just to fulfill our vision. Actually, they exist just to buy properties for churches that want to rehouse the homeless. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. So we met with them, you know, and a process began. And from 2013, it took about a couple of years, and our first house for the homeless opened in November 2015, High Road, Harrow Wheels. So we were so excited. And one of the things that really blessed me, actually, Green Pastures has a conference every year with all the churches and groups that have partnered with them to open houses for the homeless. And I went along to their conference, and to my amazement, because I thought, but these people, they are joyful, they are glowing, they are happy. Nobody looks like they're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And, you know, because, you know, you can have your own idea that if you take this on, you know, you're just going to be flattened. And nobody looked like that. They were so happy. And what blew me away was the testimonies of some of the residents from the houses. And do you know that 70% of the people that they house become Christians? 70%. That is absolutely amazing. And so we launched the house in Harrowweald. That was the first one's called Hope House. And to date, we've housed about 19 men. Each house is single gender, you know, for sensible reasons. You know, each house is single gender. And so far, we've housed about 19 people in Hope House. And the last person who's really promising to us is a guy called Justin. He was our first. In your first year, they recommend don't take anyone on that has, you know, life-controlling problems like drugs, alcohol, strong mental health, because you haven't got the experience yet. So the first year, we didn't do that. The second year, he became our first person that had made a journey, and he was on his way out of heroin, addiction, alcohol, but he was on his journey. So he got to us, and he was on a methadone script, and we worked with him. He stayed with us. He would be very faithful every week to come and do voluntary work. And when it came to the end of his time, because they're allowed to stay with us between 1 year and 18 months, and he stayed with us just over a year, and he left us to go to Teen Challenge. And from Teen Challenge, he's just finished Teen Challenge, and he's going to go on now to do a counselling, level 2 counselling course. That's just a real blessing. And so to say, bring you right up to date, our second house for the homeless opened 2 doors away from the first one, and that's called Cedar House. And that comes after, it's in your area. Absolutely amazing. And that's 2 doors away from the first one. Cedar House, the name is taken from Psalm 92, 12 to 13. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. We say that's going to be the prayer for the guys who come in. We pray for them that they will be planted, they will come to know the Lord, and they'll be oaks of righteousness. So this is a very quick synopsis of the vision. And you know, just to tell you a little bit, about 3 weeks ago, I went to a conference, Andrew Womack conference in Telford. And just before that, thank God, we really need to meet up with churches with a heart for this in Harrowweald, because that's where the houses are. You know, that's where both the houses. And it would be really great to get people who love to pray for those in need, work with them, do whatever. And I was doing all sorts. I was ringing people. I was trying to get emails. And I was going round and round and round. And I thought, this seems to be such hard work. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, Rose, you need to trust me. Are you trusting me? And I thought, okay, Lord. So I did a little flyer, sent it to who I could, and then I put that down. And then 2 days later, went to the conference in Telford. And I went with a friend. And she said, a lot of people came forward for prayer. And she was peering, just peering. She goes, I'm sure that's Jason. And I said, Jason? I thought, you mean this Jason? She goes, no. I know this person. And I couldn't see who it was because there were loads of people. And she just disappeared. And then towards the end of the service, she came back and said, it is him. It's Jason. And she introduced me to this guy. She said, this is Jason. We used to go to university together. And he wasn't saved then. I used to witness to him. And so she was amazed. And she goes, not only was he now saved, he went to a church, and his church was in Harrowweald. field, and he helped with headed up the men's ministry. And I thought, oh, you're kidding, because we've been praying, we need men to work with the men, Lord. You know, we want men who come alongside and just be friends and buddy them and speak. You know, the only person we had was this Jason. He lives in Victoria. He's only one person, and miles away, you know. And so we're going, what an amazing answer to prayer, not only local, but somebody who's got a heart for men and who can, you know, maybe, you know, galvanize a few people. I just like to say a quick well done to the two ladies that have championed Hope House and kept it running for the last couple of years at least, and that's Eniola and Beverly. So there, you can stand up, guys, say hello so they know who. Yeah, that's right, there they are. The other reason I say stand up as well is because if you want to chat to anyone about anything, you can catch them as well as me at the end as well. Now, can I just say, everyone else has introduced themselves, who they are. Now, how can you help if you pray? First of all, it's pray about it, isn't it? Pray about it, see what the Lord lays on your heart. And you can volunteer in various different areas. We need a new house manager for the new house, someone who does administration. For those two, we do try and we make sure that your expenses are met and a small something that helps you with the traveling around and what you have to do. You could also be a volunteer support buddy to come alongside one or two of the guys and just be there with them. And a lot of the time, that relationship is that end up people getting saved out of that. People very open. As a church, you can refer people that you come across that are homeless. You can refer them to us. You can give, donate. That's on our website if you want to support in that way. And also we have some flyers. You can pick them up. They're at the back there. And finally, one of the biggest challenges we have is that when people have finished their time with us, then it comes to move on. And in London, move on accommodation is incredibly difficult. And so sitting before the Lord, we just felt praying, not just your church, but all that I'll be speaking to as many churches in Harrow and the area as possible, that sometimes people live in a house and they've got spare empty rooms. And they may be able to take one of our guys in. And what we can do, we work with you, match them up with you. You would get some kind of income for that room as well. And this would answer the prayer for that person moving on and somebody else from the streets being able to get a home. So that's a really quick synopsis. I'm going to finish right there because I know you've got the Word of God coming right now from Pastor Rick.
Thank you so much. Rose, would you stand down here with your team? We want to gather around you and bless you. Thank you. All the Fresh Horizons team, would you come and stand with Rose? And I'd like the ministry team to come, just gather around them. Praise God. Just lay hands on them. I'm sure it's safe. If you're seated, would you extend your hands towards them today as we just release fresh grace upon them? Father, we thank you that your heart has been revealed again for our community. You looked on our community and you saw those people who had no hope and no help, Lord, and you put it in Rose's heart and her team to be your hands and feet and heart. Thank you, Lord, for your calling upon them and upon us. And we join with them together today in being Jesus in our community in this real and powerful and practical way. And today, as we lay hands on them, we release fresh grace, fresh favor, supply and provision, increase and enlargement, revelation and insight to each one of them as they connect with this vision. Thank you, Lord. You cause it to prosper and bring great redemption to many, Lord, who have no hope and no help. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, we just welcome the whole Fresh Horizons team. We're just so glad you came. You know, we've always had it in our hearts to reach out to people in our community, and so it was so refreshing to meet Rose and to hear her story and her heart. And I know that God will quicken us to connect with them even more in bringing redemption to our community. You know, some of you would be aware that Marilee and I were in Ireland last week. And we were with Barry and Ann White. And Barry was telling me about the congregation, and he kind of singled out a particular individual. And he was telling me about this guy that they called him, I won't say his name. But they said that this man was terribly abused as a boy. So badly that he lived under a tree for 14 years outside. The people in the community saw him as, in their terms, an animal. No one went near him. He was so oppressed of the devil. In the mystery of the grace of God, he came into the church and received Christ as his Savior and was gloriously saved. So Barry shared with me this story. And he said, you know, he's in the church today. Anyway, we had a wonderful time of ministry and service, and God came in a wonderful way. After the service, I'm chatting to people, meeting them the first time. And a man probably in his early 30s came forward, and he was tall, slender, very well-presented, well-dressed young man, asked for some healing. And so we laid hands on him, and God healed him wonderfully. And, you know, he was so engaging and appreciative and smiling. And anyway, he gave me a hug. And I had noticed him earlier in the service kind of assisting with a number of things. And after he walked away, Barry came up to him and he said, that was, and he said his name. If you had met him, you'd never known that was his history. A great story of redemption. And that's the heart of God. He loves to go where it looks hopeless. That community had basically written that fellow off. Who would even go near him? He was so strange, so awkward, and so difficult. Well, let me tell you, he's found a family. He's found a place of belonging. He's found grace. He's found life and hope. He has a job. He's involved with the church. A great story of redemption. And I believe that's who we are as people. And so that's why I knew when I heard the voice of the Lord through Ruth's, or rather Rose's, testimony, that God wanted her to come here and share that today. Because that's the heart of God. Lots of people don't really need God in their mind. But there are people who would have God if they knew he was there. And so continue to pray with us as we proceed in this Isaiah 58 part of the vision. All right, open your Bibles with me if you would to Revelation chapter 13 while you're getting your notes. And I talk really fast today so we can get through the message and get a lot of material covered in. Now, as you know, I'm not in a hurry in this subject. Revelation chapter 11. I just ran across this verse. I wanted to just kind of asterisk this verse as we begin our further study of your worship life. Okay, does anybody not have notes yet? Okay, there's some back over there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in each of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we receive not merely at an intellectual or cerebral level, but we hear your voice speaking to us, changing us, calling us. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. May the light of heaven shine upon us and in us and through us more than ever as a result of what you do here in this building in the next few minutes. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. Revelation 11, verse 19, I hadn't planned on reading this, but I ran across it. So then God's temple in heaven was open. You know, this book of Revelation, John has this incredible vision, and so he's kind of reciting the vision. He says, then God's temple in heaven. So God has a temple in heaven. Interesting. That's part of the picture, this verse. God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of his covenant. You say, Pastor, I've watched television and I've seen that, there have been several expeditions to try to find, the Ark of the Covenant. How many of you remember that great Bible story that Indiana Jones started? No. And so people have been looking for the Ark of the Covenant. But how could it still exist? Because, that was a few thousand years ago that Moses built the Ark. And now the Bible says that John sees the Ark of his covenant in his temple in heaven. All right, just throw out that question for you. I'll come back to that. But all that's part of our understanding of worship, the Ark of the Covenant. Because sometimes people think they draw a line between Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, that's Old Testament, that's New Testament. So it's kind of interesting reading Old Testament. New Testament, yeah, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, if you're a New Testament Christian, you're an Old Testament Christian as well. You may be confused about how much of the Old Testament is applicable, but two-thirds of the New Testament is Old Testament. So you can't say I'm a New Testament Christian exclusively so. You have to understand how the old and the new come together. And so we'll look at that. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says, all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. That doesn't sound good, does it? How many want to worship the beast? I don't want to worship anything that's like a beast. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Then it gives a little qualification to it. It says, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Lots of theology in that verse. But here the Bible is telling us that everybody on the earth will worship. Everybody will worship. And you'll worship the beast if you're not worshiping the Lamb. So we live in a world that is a worshiping world. You know, lots of people just worship themselves. I mean, that's what we call selfishness. And in another sense, that's the beast. Have you ever met a selfish person? They act kind of beastly, don't they? Now, don't look around. Don't say that she's talking to you. But everybody is a worshiper. And in all the modes of your life, you're worshiping. So you got some deserved attention on something or some undeserved focus on something. But here the Bible says that all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Wow, that's an insight. All right, let's look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11. It says on this
Smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There's no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. So that kind of tells you beast worship is not good. You're headed for destruction, torment, if you are a beast worshiper. So this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remained faithful to Jesus. The devil is always trying to get you away from worship of the Lamb to worship of the beast. And the word the beast, you know, that's kind of tells us something of the nature. But the beast is well camouflaged. As I've often said to you, the devil doesn't come and say, by the way, I am the devil here to destroy you, deceive you, and damage you. He doesn't do that. He's got something well camouflaged that looks so good. And if you're not careful and you don't judge with righteous judgment, biblical judgment, Holy Spirit judgment, you will be tempted to say, yeah, I'll have some of that. And so worship is a critical issue for our lives, a critical issue. All right, now let's go over and look at something positive. Psalm 100. We're talking about, if you look there in page 4 of your notes, the Old Testament words for praise. But I wanted to start with this great psalm. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, does that include everybody? I think so. So let's stand to our feet and shout for joy. This is one of those you're not allowed to sleep messages. I want you to say, praise the Lord, 10 times. Don't say it to me. You know, he says, shout for joy to the Lord. To the Lord. Many people sing and shout, but not to the Lord. They're just doing it. So when you shout praise the Lord 10 times today, you're saying it to Him. Okay? Are you with me? 10 times. Can you count 10? Primarily, you hold up the fingers just in case we, you know, don't get there. Everybody on the count of 3. Praise the Lord! 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 Praise God! Praise the Lord! God bless you. You may be seated. You know, quite some years ago, we did that, and the police came here. They did. They didn't know what was going on. They just thought to call the police. Hallelujah. It was a good chance for them to hear the gospel. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with madness, with gladness. With gladness. I remember some years ago we had a woman visiting with us, and her daughter attended us with us. And she was an older woman, and we were sitting in the living room just having some refreshment. And so I was trying to engage her in conversation. And so I said to her, what's God doing in your life? And she looked at me with no smile. And she said, where I come from, God is a private matter. Oh, okay. Shut that conversation. You know, I love to hear people's testimonies. And you know, when you know, the other Sunday when we were here on the Healing Sunday, how many of you here were for Healing Sunday? We had an amazing time. And what's so amazing is not only there's a healing grace released, but it's also a great joyful time. And you may not have known it, but I was accosted the other day. I was just had met with somebody. I was leaving, and two older ladies came up and greeted me and shook my hand and said, "Well, you know, Pastor, you probably don't recognize us, but we were here for the Healing Sunday. We were, and they attend St. Joseph's, the Catholic Church up the road here." They said, "We've never, ever been in a service like that. You know, it was so joyful." So why? And because God does such a wonderful, amazing things. And so there's always room to worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Joyful songs. You know that old hymn, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." You know, the world finds sanctuary often in sadness. So they think. God says, "You can come before me with joyful songs." Joyful songs. You say, "But Pastor, I don't know if I have much to give thank you." Oh, you do, because you're breathing, you're here. "Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And notice here He says in verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise." What is that, enter His gates? Where are the gates? What gates? Oh, Pastor, that's just kind of an Old Testament notion about kind of, you know, coming before God in terms of, you know, Moses' tabernacle. I see. So when the sheep of His pasture, I don't see any sheep in here. I see sheep in here, but I don't see any blah, sheep in here. So what does it mean? Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And His courts with praise. You know, these sound like very simple phrases, and they are simple phrases, but they're packed with truth. As I've told you before, I attended services in church from the time I was born, along with my seven siblings, every Sunday and all the special meetings, all the revival meetings, but I didn't understand this. I thought singing is just what you did before the preaching. I didn't know it was entering anything. And then after you entered something, you actually went further in. I had no concept of that. I had no concept. And if you were here this morning, that's what happened. We kind of entered. And then we had some exhortation, and we went further in. I want to say to you today, and we'll come back to this, there's further to go. Further to go. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is most of the time good. No, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I want us to look at some of the Old Testament words for praise, because they help us to understand really what kind of worship life we are to have, both personally and corporately. If you don't understand that, then you just operate out of what you think. And lots of people on the earth have DIY Christianity. It's self-styled, self-made, self-created, self-designed. That's how they live their Christian journey. And so they're kind of really ignorant that God says, "I'm sorry, our relationship is not a DIY job. You don't do it yourself. Live according to the manual, to the prescription, with faith, and you'll have the best life you can ever have. Then your life is what Peter calls an acceptable offering to the Lord." If I just make up my own mind about what I want to do and what I'm comfortable with, I'm not going to present an acceptable offering to the Lord. You know, and that's really popular in our world. You know, there isn't any, have you noticed there isn't any such thing as truth? No such thing as truth in our world. It's only what's right for you. And what's right for you. And what's right for you. Because that might be different than what's right for me. There's no real right and wrong, it's just what's right for me. So, you know, you can actually select your gender in our world. There's no right and wrong. No, no. Our world says, no, you select. You select. And it's important for us as God's people that we don't take that kind of thinking into our walk with Christ. I did. I have on numerous occasions. I told God that, you know, there were some things in the Bible I didn't like. Anybody been like that? Been there? Four of you. The rest of you are just about to be raptured. I've had several points in which I didn't like what God was presenting. But as one man says, it's an oxymoron to say no, Lord. That's a contradiction of terms. You can't say no, Lord. If he's the Lord, you have to say yes. Otherwise, you're not really saying Lord. And probably one of the toughest areas I had was worship. This whole thing of praise, exuberant praise, it was not consistent with who I am, who I was. God, you know, so it's okay for, you know, people like Caroline or, you know, somebody who's got a real vibrant personality. I don't have that. That's not me, God. Don't be putting something on me now. I should be able to worship God like I like. Well, how do you do that? How do you shout for joy quietly? Come on now. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Some of you sitting here today would like to shout quietly so you could comply. But you can't shout quietly. Shout quietly. No, that's not a shout. That's not a shout. God says, I want you to lift up holy hands. I don't know if you saw on the news, all of those very reserved, quiet, inner people who were celebrating at Glastonbury. Did any of you see that in the news? You ever heard of Glastonbury? It's where they grow berries and it's... No, it's a great festival. And they showed it on the news that for all kinds of reasons. But when they showed the group, I didn't see anybody that didn't have their hands like this, looking up at the people, the artists. They're all like that. I didn't see any signs around the area that said, now when the artists come on stage, be sure you put both hands in the air. What's that? You think they all got instruction? I don't think so. They said, this is what we do. We... They'll go berserk worshiping something else. But we can be sophisticated. Have you ever had trouble putting your hands in the air? Worship? Boy, it was a tough road for me. So, here we are. The first word there is halal, which means glory, praise, to sing praise, to celebrate or boast. So God's, one of the words used, one of probably the most used word in the Old Testament, 160 times, over 160 times, this word halal, it's the word from which we get the word, as we were singing earlier and saying earlier, hallelujah. That's a Hebrew word. And it means to praise, to sing praise, to celebrate our boast. Let's look at a verse of scripture here, Revelation 19:1. After this, I heard what sounded like a whisper. How many have that one? No, after this, I heard what sounded like the roar. Everybody say the roar.
The roar.
Of a great multitude in heaven, silently shouting. Shouting. They were shouting. So if you could hear in heaven today, I think you'd probably still hear this. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are His judgments. And verse 3, and again they shouted, hallelujah. Verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne. Interesting. A voice came from the throne. I wonder whose voice that was. Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. When the great wedding of the bride and the bridegroom takes place, it's not going to be a quiet affair. There's going to be some global, universal shouting and praising God. And the Hebrew word for the Old Testament book of Psalms comes from this word, hallel, which means praises. So Psalms, the book of Psalms, is the book of praises. It's the book of praises. It's kind of interesting when you get to the Greek, it translates Psalms as singing praises with the accompaniment of some stringed instrument. So the New Testament believers wrapped up all of their teaching about worship. Because it wasn't like a brand new thing. They, as Paul said, I worship after the way of my fathers. So they captured everything that God had said timelessly through David in the Psalm book, in the book of praise. And they said, we're going to worship Him as they did in David's time. Singing praises. So they understood that the songbook of the Old Testament was to be offered back to God with musical instruments. Okay. Marilee, would you come to the piano? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 103. And we're going to do something you've probably never done before. Psalm 103, if we can put that on the overhead as well. Stand to your feet if you would, once you have Psalm 103. I'd like for us to join the early church. If you've got a Bible, I'd like you to open it, especially if you can't see the screen. Psalm 103. What did we say? We said the psalm book is the song book. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. And the song we're going to sing is, we'll at least have, primarily it'll provide a melody line that we can just all participate in. But I'd like you to sing your song to the Lord. One of the best ways you can sing your song is to go to the songbook. See, most songs we sing, somebody else wrote. Hello? I used to sing merrily a song. I didn't write it. Looking back, it was probably really wasn't even true. Some of you are probably old enough to know it. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when the skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Now, I sang that to her. I was trying to borrow somebody else's musical and verbal writing to express my love for her. But I can tell you, I didn't always go get a book of poetry and read it to her. I said things that were unique to me out of my heart. We all understand this. Somebody's done something wonderful for you and you are deeply grateful. You don't say, okay, wait a minute, I gotta check Google out here and see what's the best way to say this. I gotta get a book here and I'll come back and no. You talk out of your heart, don't you? So we're gonna get a little practice here. A little practice for heaven. So we can have some more of heaven on earth. So here's the thought line. Here's the thought line from Psalm 103. David said, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. Every one of us is simultaneously going to sing your praise to God for his benefits. Okay? How many of you had God do something for you? Okay? You can tell God that, but you can sing it too. We're just going to get a little practice here today. Okay? I praise you, Lord. You save my soul. Go ahead, sing.